Are you ready, music lovers? It's time for Tulsa Little Jam, presented by Improving Lives Counseling Services, Inc.
What's happening?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you here to play some music?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of Tulsa Little Jam. We are very excited about this fella who actually I just met for the first time tonight, even though we've been having conversations online for quite, not what you think.
We finally met.
I was
the weirdest date ever.
I was ready for that next step.
Sorry.
And we took it there. It was the tattoos. He had me at that. Anyway, so we finally just met. Somebody in the audience is going, stop. Stop, Juan. Stop.
I love it.
Anyway, and so I was super excited because he's a very, very... very, very respected guy in the community and stuff, and his music has been all over the country, and he's played in New York, and I remember he sent me a message because I split my time in New York, and he was like, hey man, are you in New York? I'm playing at, where were you playing again?
The Bitter End.
At the Bitter End, which I've been to a gazillion times, and I was like, ah, crap, no, I'm in Tulsa. But here we are together, finally,
yeah,
in Tulsa.
In Tulsa.
And we are ready to rock and roll. So put your hands together for Eric Hyman!
I wanna be another dawn.
Ben Nyekirk on guitar, Brendan Holder on drums, Matt Hayes on bass.
This season of Tulsa Little Jam is presented by Improving Lives Counseling Services, Inc.
So tell me, I'm fascinated by you because you've been around for a while, yet there's your presence is just so alive not that I'm saying you're old, but that you have such a young and youthful presence.
I turned 40 this month.
I'm older than you, but happy birthday.
Hey. 40.
But you've done some cool stuff in those 40 years. Like you've toured with, you know, an indie legend, you know, with Ani DeFranco.
Yeah, I toured with Ani. I got to tour with Ani.
Sorry.
Ani DeFranco, who has a relationship with the Woody Guthrie Center, which is pretty awesome. And I got to perform with her, actually. It was really cool at Kane's Ballroom as part of a fundraiser for the Woody Guthrie Center I think 2014. And then I got to tour with Leon Russell.
Oh, yeah,
before
really?
He passed away, which was awesome. Yeah, opening up. And Patty Griffin. And yeah, I mean, a lot. And then I played here with the Indigo Girls when they were here last.
That's killer.
So, I mean, it's just sometimes it's just amazing to look at these heroes and then be on stage with them. And then I'm done. And I'm like, well, now what do I do with my life? And that's where I'm at.
I have nowhere else to go now.
I literally.
No, but you actually get to play a lot, like we talked about in the intro and stuff. You actually do tour and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was a touring musician for about 14 years, and I toured around, like, did figure eights all over the country over and over and over again.
In ice skates.
In
ice skates.
In ice skates.
Yes.
And we're going to have a fun friendship. In ice skates. And there's a hits a point where like it got bigger and I got to start playing theaters and opening up for these people. And I really did hit that point where I was like, now what? Because my dreams were never Beyonce big. They were never to play amphitheaters or never to play the BOK Center. They were really just to meet people who inspired me and get the opportunity to like interact with them. And I don't know. And I'm very lucky that I've had those moments. You know, so now I'm kind of, after not putting out anything for a while, I decided to get off the road, start working behind the scenes, and now I have the joy of being able to do all the programming for Guthrie Green, which I'm very proud of and proud of the initiative of that, and work with Duet and help with the Blue Whale Comedy Fest and booking all that. And I get to work behind the scenes, but yet still I wanted to do music, so this past December I was like, you know what, I'm putting out another album. After waiting about a few years. And it's cool, like I get to do both and I'm very, very lucky.
And the album, it just came out actually like, was it 3 months ago?
Yep.
About 3 months ago. What was the title of the actual
album? Contenders.
It was Contenders, yeah.
So, I have one for you.
Yeah, what?
I have one for you, I'll bring one out.
A CD.
A CD, yeah.
Oh, yay! I don't
I have a contender for you.
I don't own a CD player.
You don't own a CD player?
No, man.
I don't either.
Digital.
I don't either.
So, no, but I.
But that's the weird thing is to sell CDs.
Yeah.
Because there is still an audience for people who are buying CDs, just like vinyl.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know.
And I'm sure it's going to come back again, even bigger at some point. You know?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to buy them again. And they're going
to
be this big.
Well, people are making cassettes now. I think Casey told me that.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Like people are making actual. The cassettes are coming back.
Because I bought my parents this new entertainment center and all this stuff, and we were putting it together, and we were pulling all the stuff out, and it was just like a whole bunch of VHS and cassettes and CDs and stuff. And the cassettes, I was just kind of all nostalgic and everything, because it was just like, you know, I used to make mixtapes for the people you were into. And
but when you get nostalgic like that, remember like all that tape that just accidentally, like remember when you had a cassette? Remember when you had a cassette and for some silly reason, like there would be something that would just catch it and then there would be a weird crease in it. And then you're like out there with your finger like an iron trying to iron out that tiny little crease so that when you're listening to your Jewel Pieces of Me album.
Yes. Wow, that was
I didn't even plan that. I know Jewel is big in here. But when you're listening to that and she like does that thing with her voice, it's actually the tape. She's like, it's that crease.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by The Hunt Club.
It's a love song to Tulsa. A big smiley song for you right there.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by the Justin Thompson Restaurant Group.
I like what you were saying, though, about the, you didn't really ever have Beyonce big dreams and stuff.
I didn't, and there's this, it's funny, I've started dabbling in stand-up comedy because I feel like there's so many musician things that happen that people don't see that are hilarious, like this little bit I'm about to do. When people see you, and it's funny, like when I'm playing at a bar, I'm playing at Starbucks, I'm playing somewhere, and I'm in the corner, and people are like, "Oh, you're great. You should try out for American Idol." And I'm like, "I'm too old for that." And then they're like, "Oh, you're great. You should then try out for The Voice." And I'm like, "Oh, I did that," and they thought I was too much like Adam Levine, which actually is the true thing.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, really. I auditioned for a Voice, and they were like, "You remind me of someone." And yeah, so I got all the way to a contract stage, and then they were like, "Yeah, this is not gonna work." So then someone comes up and they're like, "American Idol." I'm like, "Oh, I'm old." And then they're like, "A Voice." And then I'm like, "Oh, I tried and it didn't work." And then they're like, "Good luck." Like that's funny because their ideas, people have come up and they're very sweet. And I know that they're trying to pay me a compliment, but it's funny that I don't really have those dreams. And I think it would be a terrible Beyonce. Like, I think at that stratosphere, I would just be shards of Eric Hyman.
Well, I just personally kind of feel like it shouldn't be. I don't think anybody should. Kids have asked me and stuff too, because I mean, I am successful at what I do.
Yes.
Okay. Nobody knows who I am, but I am successful at what I do. And the thing is maybe when I was like a tiny kid, I was like, I'm Broadway bound, you know, that sort of stuff. But I feel more content with myself because I let go of those big lofty dreams and focus solely on the moment. And that has helped inform basically all my decisions and stuff. And I feel better as an artist that way.
Well, we live in a viral age now where being famous is so palpable. It's like everyone is like, I can be famous. And even there's times where I think if I did have these big dreams of it's all the goal is just to be famous, I would just go get a skateboard and fail and then have somebody record it when I fall down on my face, and then I'd get up and sing a song and people would be like, did you see that guy like play his guitar and then fall down on his face on a skateboard? It's awesome. I feel like that would get hits. So to just be a musician these days, I feel like it's very competitive to even get yourself out there like that, to try to be that level of fame.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's, of course, accidental.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, it's the right place, right time. And so there's so many different factors that go into it. And I feel like a lot of the people out there who are seeing these and they have this idea of fame being things that you described and whatnot, and yet the actual art itself gets completely lost. And that's kind of heartbreaking.
Well, that's why my idols were always people like the Indigo Girls and Ani DiFranco and all of these just amazing artists that were just continually out there putting out their music, and it didn't matter if they were on radio. It didn't matter if you saw their face on People magazine. But who they were and what they wrote about really mattered to me.
Right.
And there's times in my career where I've had somebody say, hey, that song you wrote about your dad or the song you wrote about coming out, like, that to me is like, you spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I think those writing songs and having them be discussions with the community that listens to it is very different than trying to pose yourself as like, I'm the king and everybody is like beneath me, which sometimes I feel like certain artists, that's what it kind of builds up to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then they perpetuate that as well.
So I mean, I don't know. I hold that dear. Yeah. So getting opportunities like this to present my songs and have, you know, one person in an audience be like, that really meant something to me.
That's what it is. Like, I was taught
that's enough for me.
If you reach one person, you've done your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice, I mean, I know it sounds like, you know, oh, like hippy dippy naive, like, oh, you touched one person's life. But it means a lot to people.
I think you get confused when everybody puts their aspirations on you. Like, when you don't have those aspirations, that people are like, man, you're good. You should be on Jimmy Fallon. And then I walk away and I'm like, oh, that's nice. How do I get on Jimmy Fallon? You know what I mean? Like, you start playing into it. And there's been times in my career where things like start to take, you know, get progressively bigger and bigger. You have to take a step back and think, like, what do I really want out of this?
Yeah.
And that's what I did in 2015, was just like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on figuring out what the next thing is.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's cool. Your band is made up of some really fascinating people, like Brandon, your drummer.
Oh yeah.
He lived next door to Leon and used to play with Leon.
He lived next door to Paul Benjamin.
I'm sorry. He lived next to Paul Benjamin.
Yes, and he played with
Leon. I said
Leon
that the wrong
for like
way.
8 years. And
yeah, I think that's.
And then
amazing.
Matt Hayes, who played bass and still does for Wayne Newton,
which is one of my favorite things ever.
I mean, they're just super talented. And again, like the goal is not necessarily to just be as famous as fast as possible. It's like the organic chemistry that you have with musicians like me. I mean, adding Ben to the situation has just been just even better. But like me, Matt, and Brandon are like a machine. Like, we've played so many years together, and I we can all lead each other and know where we're all going. Like, that kind of chemistry to me is what keeps me in music and like the fun of playing with people.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
I didn't know this was gonna be so deep.
Sorry.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by Elizabeth Nave, Farmers Insurance Agency. Dos Bandidos, Cali-style Mexican restaurant.
with the games that they say that the girls play. These small town boys, if one of us should hit the fast lane, line up just to drop your name. Oh, rude and honest folk, can you take a joke? Well, let's see. Did you hear about the one who took himself too seriously? They got the clothes, they got the hair, they got the look, they got the stare, but is there anything in there to back you up? Spending more time on your body than the body of your eyes. Do you wonder if it ever be enough? Oh, these small town boys play their games and they say that the girls play. These small town boys, if one of us should hit the fast lane, line up just to drop your name. With honey words, caterers disguises hotels for birds. You get checked in, but honey, will he that you ever leave? Stubborn and rubbing elbows in town. If you build a circus, expect some clowns. Followers following like they did so blindly. Chasing the ghost of the past around. Who are you to define this city sound? Look at the bounty and what it has to offer. Capitalizing on all the lies, playing in places you play till you die. And if you made it, you'd still be the same. Kiss this city bye-bye. These guys got so much arrogance on tap, you can flood this city with one try. Play the games that they say that the girls play. These small town boys, if one of us should hit the fast lane, what if one of us should hit the fast lane? Yeah. What if one of us should hit the fast lane? Line up just to drop your name. Line up just to drop your name. Line up to drop your name.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by McNally's Group.
Hey, okay, so how about some audience questions? Who's got some questions out there? Okay, Brett?
Oh, there's a mic coming.
Okay.
There's a mic. Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Do you come up often with a melody or a lyric first when you write a song?
That's a good question. I am very melody driven, and everything kind of comes secondary to that. For instance, the first song I played was a song called Another that we shot a music video for in town and everything. But that song...
25,000
views. 25,000
views.
That was a lyric that, like, and a melody that kind of just came, like, I was, you know, walking or something. And I heard in my head, so don't you run from me right now. And then I was like, ooh, I like that. And I don't know how to explain it as a musician, in case you know this, and the musicians out, you know, Alaska Maddie, like, musicians in the room, you know, songwriters, you know that, like, it's so strange to think you had something just pop out of you. And that's literally what happens, is that you're doing something, and somebody will say a word, or somebody will say a phrase, and all of a sudden it has a melody line, and you just kind of either, you go with it, or you discard it. And there's some where I think songwriters, we get to be better at figuring out which ones to keep and which ones to trash. And there's a lot of people who keep them all, and they shouldn't. And but I'm saying, just being funny, but I will say that, like, that true. It's about editing and figuring out what works and what works for you. So when I get that line, that melody, I'll sit down to the piano or the guitar, and then I'll just start trying to build everything around it. And some of it I can hear immediately, and some I can hear later on in production. Like when, you know, Brent and I are in the studio or something, it'll come to me. But all my songs that I feel that reach people were never like me sitting down being like, I'm going to write a song about... Everybody doesn't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to write a song about...
ponies!
Okay.
That's my word today.
That's your word association?
That's my word.
I'm going to write a song about me. See, I saw... I know, I was here. I saw that. But that's... To me, that's the most genuine, unique, authentic song for me that comes out is when I that just pops into my head and I just try to build a castle around it.
For you, do you feel like there's a time or a moment where you should not write a song?
I've had things where I really am pushing for something, like I have an agenda. Like there'll be something political in the world and everyone will say to me, why aren't you writing a song about this injustice? And I'll be honest, I wanna write a song about this injustice. I mean, I get to live in Tulsa during a really amazing time where even just the Tulsa Arts District is like building up. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot I see with, you know, the 1921 race massacre that's, you know, about to hit its centennial. And I see all that and I think, oh, there's a song in me. I want to talk about racial inequality. But there's a moment where you have to be like, but how do I express that? And you want to write about it. And there's other topics that I want to write about. That's many times I kind of learned to sit back and be like, it'll come. Like, I'll know the right time to put my words out there. And I'll know what they are. And I know what the message is. And I can stand behind and I feel like I did the right thing.
Mm-hmm. You'll know when it's the time to do it.
I think that comes, I mean, sometimes I think they're just people who are prodigies at very young ages who already know, have that intuition to know that. But for me, I went through a period where I'm like, hey, Dad, do you like this song? And he's like, no. And I'm trying to say this. And he's like, I'm not hearing that. He's like, you're not expressing that to me. I'm not getting that from just your song without you having to explain it. Uh-huh. And then I think I had to learn that intuitiveness to be like, okay, this is the kind of delivery I should do in the message, and it all kind of goes together.
I feel like it's like that, you know, when you chase something too hard, it's like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's that old saying. Some people, it's been attributed a lot to different things, like it's a Chinese proverb, Henry David Thoreau said it or whatnot, yeah. But that happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase after it, the more it eludes you. But if you turn and focus your thoughts on other things, it comes and quietly sits on your shoulder.
Ah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. I didn't write it.
But you delivered it perfectly.
Oh, thanks. Did you see how I dropped my voice at the beginning?
I did. It's musical nice. Theater.
It's musical theater. Chair spin. I thought you were going to join me.
I can't.
kick the mic over.
Boom.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I hope that I always still have that thing inside me that lets me write songs.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's artists out there. I mean, I heard Fiona Apple say, like, every time I write a song, I think it's the last song. And that's kind of true with some artists where you feel like inspiration comes and goes, and I drink a lot of coffee in order to get that inspiration. You know that Nirvana feeling that you have after coffee? I like hold that so, like, with a death grip. Like, I drink coffee and have a piece of paper out, and I'm just waiting. Like, I'm waiting by the phone, waiting for that song to come out. Because those are the moments where I feel like I'm kind of in tune, you know, when I've been extremely caffeinated.
Yeah.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by a generous grant from the Arts Alliance of Tulsa.
All right, so we're going to take it down a notch. Thanks, Matt Hayes, Brennan Holder. We're going to end this little set with an acoustic one for you. That might be a little bit of a bummer.
You gotta laugh because there's no time to cry. The Indigo Girls said that. I love them. We're kind of the Indigo Girls right now, right? We're being very Indigo Girly. Ben Nyakirk over here on guitar. Side note, we are a duo as well, performing as the Nightly Dues, paying our dues one night at a time. I came up with that just now. You like that? So I wrote this song with a friend of mine. It's on my new album. Most of these songs are from an album called Contenders. So that just came out in December. Contender December. I just got that. All right. The song's called Earth, Ashes, and Dust.
Tell death to us part is an option. Seeing that love has died. We had a few good years, then a few more where we tried. I think it's time to call the day. Pack up, move on. That's more full of sun. To climates warmer than this one. Earth, ashes and dust. Nothing left to bury, nothing left to discuss. It's all just earth, ashes and dust. Time to move on, baby. They're saying it, speak now or forever hold your peace. Well, now it's time for me to speak and you to listen, please. It's time to call it quits. Pack up, move on. The trust, or has that line been crossed by years? Earth, ashes and dust. Nothing left to bury, nothing left to discuss. It's all just earth, ashes and dust. Time to move on, baby. Gathered here today to lay this marriage to rest. It's a kind thing to do. It really is for the best. Oh God, I'm ready for that sun. Climate's warmer than this one. Nothing left to bury, nothing left to discuss. It's all just earth, ashes and dust. Time to move on, baby. It's all just earth, ashes and dust. Time to move on.
This episode of Tulsa Little Jam is brought to you by New Medio.
Any other questions from the audience? Yes.
How many albums do you have total now?
Ooh, 10.
Okay, so out of your 10 albums,
yeah,
what do you feel like the most proud of, or maybe the what most represents you as an artist?
I love you, Amira. What I'm most proud of? I'm most proud of lyrics because they don't come very easily to me. Like when I sit down and I start really writing things out and I feel like my intention and what's coming out are the same and like matched. I have a song called You First that I'm pretty proud of about kind of the songs where I feel like I just own my reality. Uh-huh. I'm trying to spout off some of it right now. Sing it. Oh my gosh.
Apparently he needs to remember it.
I need to remember it. I know
that from sing. Ooh. Tulsa Little Jam, Unplugged.
Literally unplugged. It's kind of plugged. Oh, there we go. I'm boarding a crowded plane to the sky, a room full of strangers thousands feet high, with little to do and much less to say. We share this time, then we separate. I've been living by neighbors but don't know their names. I've been locking my doors and sliding the chain. We want the safety that comes after settling wars, forgetting the breaking of bread that came after opening doors. We say you first. You first. You first. You first. I'm constantly asked at my shows, enter concerts on TVs that rocket supposed unknowns, to fame and to wealth that many never see. Am I still an American if that is not my dream? Cause if mass money is destined for me, and I'm playing for millions on computer screens, someone will think I've had enough and try to silence my voice. Sometimes we don't want it all we want is the choice. We say you first. You first. You first. You first.
Holy crap, man. That was like Tulsa Little Jam magic. That was fantastic.
But that's a song I was pretty proud of, where I felt like I dug so deep that I felt it was pretty honest that that I was coming up with conclusions while I was writing it. Very self-reflective.
So good.
And
that was so good.
But staying true to myself after 10 albums, I'm just proud of. I do a lot of political songs and talk about different issues. And I mean, what was the second part of the question?
I don't even care.
Well, you've had the 10 albums, so is there one album or one part of an album that you felt like most represents you as an artist?
I feel like there's an album that song's off of called Supposed Unknown. And I feel like that is a very, I mean, as much as I like my new album, which is my version of like rock and putting rock music out there in the forefront. I do feel like that album was at a time where I was being very, very reflective and just trying to write songs that I felt like weren't the same songs everybody else was writing. You know, there's a song on there called Save the Afternoon, which is about being in a relationship, and there's so many breakup songs that there wasn't a song that was like, you know what, we're having a bad day. You know that?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I know I want you to take out the garbage and you don't want to do it. And I know we just got in a weird tense fight over nothing. And now we're talking about breaking up because we both didn't eat yet. But, but let's just go eat and save the afternoon. So, I mean, that's kind of was the sentiment of that. And writing a lot of songs that were in that kind of vein of like, instead of trying to write what's already been done, I was really having a moment where I was really trying to not tell anybody else's story but my own.
That's a, yeah. Well, I mean, with all of that, I feel like that's a perfect place to end because we said, I think the one thing that you said before was perfect is just be true to yourself. Be true to yourself, and that's like an important
And everyone says it like it's so easy. It's really not.
Oh, no.
Very hard.
No, it's like that saying, what's that, is it Baz Luhrmann, the sunscreen song? Where he talks about, you know, some of the most interesting people that you'll ever meet are in their mid-40s or 50s and still don't know what it is they're doing in life and what they want to do in life.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just...
Happy 40th.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Eric Hyman. You're going nowhere and you don't know why.
Nowhere and no why. But you know what? We're having fun.
No,
that's
I know.
All that
but
matters.
You know what? It is. It's about living in the moment, being true to yourself. Stop chasing some misguided idea of what fame and fortune is just because you see it on YouTube, you see it on a show, you see it on everything. It makes no difference. The happiest I've ever been, and you know, I'm actually very open about this. I've been sober for over 21 years now. And for me, it was like, I got sober very young. I got sober super young, and people are like, whoa, how'd you do, why? It was, you know why? Because it wasn't working for me. I was chasing some false version of a life that made absolutely no sense. So yeah. I think for me, I'm very honest about that sort of stuff because I don't feel like I even became an adult until I made that decision to stop chasing things that didn't matter because I thought that's what everybody wanted or expected us to chase. And instead, all I did was go around in circles, and then I had nothing to write about, nothing to tell a story about in my particular line of work, and I was wasting a life, and that was just horrible. So I think it's a perfect example, and something the message behind this is about sharing with that next generation again, that, you know, don't get lost in those pointless things, because it is.
Yeah, and it's easy to get lost in them. I mean, but just to summarize, if you surround yourself with people who you really believe in and people who believe in you, I feel like on a base level, that's really all that matters.
With that is Tulsa Little Jam, guys. I want to hear it loud for Eric Hyman, everybody.
This episode is executive produced by Carlos Moreno, Juan Reynoso, and Meg Sutherland. Written, produced, and directed by Juan Reynoso. Cinematographer and lighting designer, Lyndon Alvarez. Camera operators, Lyndon Alvarez, Mark Rains, Jason Gear. Technical director, sound recordist, and mixer, Ken Llewellyn. Makeup and hair by Dalton Spence. Woody Guthrie Center Education and Public Programs Manager, Jerry Wofford. Sales and merchandising, Meg Sutherland and Jennifer Moreno. Production assistance provided by Noah Taylor, Graciela Moreno. Special thanks to Mary Jeanette Hammock, Vivian James Hall, Jerry Wofford, Daniel Regan, Mike Eddy, Paula Snyder, Todd Cunningham, and Amy Morris Blackwell.